Good morning and welcome to our service, which is being led again this morning by the Reverend Ian Murray. Following the service and beginning at 11:45, there will be a lockdown coffee and chat. Details of the Zoom meeting number and password were circulated by Alistair last week, and they will also appear on your screen at the end of the service. If you can, please remember to join with other members of your church family to pray for the future of our church on Wednesday at 1 p.m. There will be the usual opportunity to join with others in the congregation for a Zoom chat on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. The meeting number and password were circulated at the end of last week. At their recent meeting, the Kirk Session discussed reopening the church, and they decided that before taking a decision on it, they should seek the views of all church members. Consequently, a survey will shortly be circulated and your views taken into account before a decision on reopening is taken at the next meeting of the Kirk Session.
Good morning, everyone, in St Andrew's Church in Llanbraid and also Urquhart Church of Scotland. A very warm welcome to our worship this morning. I'm Ian Murray and I'm with you throughout the whole month of August, and it's lovely to be with you. I'm the Interim Minister for the East of Scotland and I'm currently looking after the Kirk of St Nicholas in Aberdeen and also St Mark's in Aberdeen. But I live here in Elgin, not very far away from you, so it's really good to be with you this morning and throughout the rest of the month of August. Today is Sunday the 16th of August and it's the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, and our call to worship comes from Isaiah chapter 56 verse 1 and reads, "Maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed." Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, who calls us to prayer, wherever we are, let us be glad and sing for joy. Guide us in our worship, in our homes, online, and help us, even through challenging circumstances, to be attentive to you as we come together as a community of faith to grow and learn and to be challenged and to be conformed. Help us to listen to your voice this day. Forgiving God, if there have been any moments this week that have been difficult and times when we have not lived up to everything you have created us to be, have mercy upon us and forgive us our weaknesses. If we have done what we should not have done, if we have said things that we ought not to have said, and thought things that were less than kind and honest, have mercy upon us and forgive us our weaknesses. In acknowledging our sins, we come before you in sorrow, but also we come trusting that you are a God of fresh starts, of new beginnings. So help us to wipe the slate clean and walk beside us, teaching us your ways. Give us hope that the difficult times won't last forever as we discover your forgiveness for ourselves and for others. And as we are forgiven, Give us the grace to reflect that same spirit of forgiveness in and through all that we do, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to listen and follow the words of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's number 153 in the hymn book.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and seedtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 15, reading from verses 21 to 28. It is entitled, The Faith of the Canaanite Woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a story about an old man who lived in the Smaglens in Angus back in the early 20th century. His name was Black Jock, and he was a renowned poacher and something of a rogue, with a reputation of having fathered more than his fair share of bairns in the Smaa Glen. He was known to be a sheep rustler, and he was generally regarded with some considerable scorn and contempt. One of Black Jock's greatest adversaries was the Free Church minister and the Kirk Session. The minister had publicly reprimanded Black Jock on more than one occasion, and Black Jock's response was to do everything he could to aggravate the church and the churchgoers more than they were already aggravated with him. He viewed the congregation as hypocrites and do-gooders, and he despised everything the church stood for. When Black Jock died, the minister gave words of warning rather than comfort. Jock was upheld as an example of the worst type of man, and it was decided by the Kirk Session that he wasn't fit to be buried within the cemetery grounds, the walls of the cemetery. So he was buried outside the cemetery wall. Many years later, one of Black Jock's children, now an elderly lady living in Edinburgh, decided to search for her father's grave. She'd once visited many years ago and remembered that it was outside the cemetery wall. She told the story of how she failed to find her father's grave. The headstone had gone. There was no sign of it anywhere where she remembered it to be. Thinking that someone had removed the stone, she wrote to Angus Council, who at that time looked after the cemetery, to find out what had happened. Why had the grave been removed? It turned out that the cemetery, since she had last visited, had been extended. The old wall had been knocked down and rebuilt much further out. "We didn't move your father's grave, we moved the wall," was what she was told. And for her, that was the greatest comfort, to know that after all these years, her father had finally found a resting place in the rightful place within the cemetery bounds. We have a tendency as human beings to draw lines, to erect walls and fences, to say who is in and who is out, who is included and who is excluded, who is accepted and who is unacceptable. The gospel story that we hear this day is all about inclusion and exclusion. It's about acceptance and rejection, about the drawing of lines around people and groups of people, lines that can be called barriers or fences. It's about who's in and who is out. The woman in the story is called a Canaanite. It was a form of scorn for Jews at the time. Israel had had terrible conflicts with the Canaanites, stretching right back to the time when they entered the Promised Land, over 1,000 years before Jesus was born. They had fought with them, they had killed one another, they had suffered at each other's hands. The Canaanites were frowned upon. They had no experience of the covenant or the Jewish laws, and they didn't follow the ancient scriptures. Instead, they offered offensive sacrifices to false gods, and lines of separation had been drawn between the Jews and the Canaanites for generations. Walls had been built. And doesn't that sound familiar? Yet this Canaanite woman comes to Jesus to have her daughter healed. I'm fascinated by Jesus' reaction. I wonder whether he struggled with the age-old attitudes that he'd been brought up, because initially he ignores this woman. She's an outsider. And his disciples become irritated by her. They want her to be gone, get rid of her. So they ask Jesus to send her away. I've come for the lost sheep of Israel, not for these people who are considered to be no better than dogs. That was Jesus' initial response. Pretty harsh words, which sound contradictory to many of his teachings and examples we read in the Gospel. But the story doesn't end there. This woman persists, and she reaches out again across the barrier, and she responds, "Dogs get hungry too." We are human. We have real needs. We have our sick to tend and our worries that trouble us in the middle of the night and our hunger and our thirst. Cut us and we bleed like anyone else. We're no different. In other words, we're our Jock Thompson's burdens. It's a pivotal moment in Jesus' life, in his ministry. When he sees her faith, when he is challenged by her persistence, his perspective is suddenly changed. He sees the whole world as being in need of salvation, and not just the nation Israel. It's because of the faith and the persistence of this woman that Jesus' ministry expands to include everyone. And the outcome is that it reaches out, he reaches out and heals her daughter. I think we can celebrate this Canaanite woman for a number of reasons. We celebrate her because Christ's mission to the whole world began with her. We celebrate her because she demonstrates the faith which makes healing possible. We also recognize her because she was the one who shattered Jesus' peace by her cry for mercy. And in response to her, Jesus was able to override one of Israel's entrenched traditions. On the 3rd of August just past, the Irish politician John Hume passed away. He was widely regarded as one of the most important figures in helping work towards the peace process in Northern Ireland. He once said in a speech these words: "All conflict is about the same thing, no matter where it is. It is about difference. Whether difference in your religion or race or your nationality. And the message that we have to get across is that we have learned in our part of the world that difference is an accident of birth. None of us chose to be born, and we certainly didn't choose to be born into any particular community. There is not two people in any one place who are the same. There is not two people in the whole world who are the same. Difference is of the essence of humanity, and therefore respect for difference should be very, very normal and common. But it is the first and deepest principle of real peace." Jesus lived in a world at a time among a people who had drawn circles to shut out the likes of the Canaanite woman. She was on the outside. Jesus, in his love and mercy, drew another circle, a wider circle, that took her in. Just as the American poet Edwin Markham wrote, "He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." One of the things most folk are missing at present is fellowship with others, what with our churches still being closed. It's meeting with friends. our online worship, our personal devotions, help nourish and sustain our faith. But we do miss that personal contact, that fellowship. Something is missing. It's a reminder of just how important fellowship is. Communion, inclusion, it's all part of our faith. And if we're feeling shut out or isolated or excluded because of social isolation, or for the folk in Aberdeen, a return to a stricter lockdown, just remember that some people experience that isolation and loneliness and exclusion every day of their lives. Is there anyone we draw lines around in order to keep out? Who do we need to reach out to? Who ought we to include? If we are to follow Jesus, we have to be prepared to move some of the boundaries. And it begins with an attitude that welcomes everyone and sees all people as equal in the eyes of God, regardless. Amen. Our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who's always there for us and to whom we can come whenever and wherever we want. Forgive us that we forget to come, and thank you for your patience and compassion, which know no bounds. We bring our broken world to you, recognising that it is both broken and wonderful, and ask that we would play our part in bringing about your kingdom here on earth. We remember those in our own country affected by flood, the victims of the train derailment, and those whose homes, schools and hospitals are destroyed. Help those who deal with these situations to be wise and efficient in practical terms, but also aware of the need for understanding. We remember two lands where there's not enough water and people struggle for the basic necessities of life. As we bring our own country to you as it deals with COVID-19, we would pray for national and local government, that they would have the wisdom and the ability to prioritise. We thank you that here in Scotland the school year has started with some degree of normality, but we ask that you would help both staff and pupils in educational establishments to cope and to adjust to the new normal. We pray for those at the beginning of their education and those at critical later stages, that their needs would be met. We remember everyone at the sharp end of dealing with the effects of the pandemic, in hospitals, care homes, surgeries, laboratories, and in homes where people are caring for those suffering from the effects of the virus, either physically or emotionally. We take a moment to remember before you names of those known to us who are in particular need. We think too of the Yeoman family, of John and the girls and the wider family and friends as they deal with the loss of Pauline. We would also bring to you our future as a church here in Moray. Above all, give us a clear vision of where and how we should be going as we try to bring Jesus to our different communities. We pray, if it's your will, that in your time we would go forward, with or without a minister. Give us all, but especially those in positions of leadership, wisdom, perseverance, commitment, and prayerful reliance on you. We thank you, Lord, for the technology that enables us to be together, even when we're far apart. Bless those who have the skills to make this happen, and those who have ministered to us in so many different ways. And finally, Father, we acknowledge that we're good at words, at talking, explaining to you our concerns, our lists, even our demands. But we would also acknowledge that we need to learn to listen to ourselves, to each other, but above all, to you. Help us to do that in your name and for your sake. Amen.
Our concluding hymn is number 596, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. I'm going to end with the words of a hymn, which I'm going to read as a poem. She came to Jesus from outside the fold. She came to Jesus from outside the fold, Canaanite woman, persistent and bold. Looking to Jesus, she wanted to see one who would help her and set her child free. Claiming a blessing, a touch of God's grace, she knew God's love was not bound by a place. Jesus, you listened, debated, then healed, for in asking, her faith was revealed. God, you still bless those who seek you in prayer. You welcome dreamers who faithfully dare. In Christ, now risen, your mercy extends. Those on the outside are welcomed as friends. Go now in the love, in the peace of the inclusive grace of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you remember this day and always. Amen.